Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, December the 18th, 353rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is our Arcata City Manager, Randy Mendoza.
Hi, Brian.
Howdy ho. Well, you're going to be one of the old guys here pretty quick, aren't you?
I'm young at heart, though.
Well, I mean, Tyson bailing out.
Yeah.
Okay, Regan's now in Fortuna.
Yeah.
As far as longevity.
Well, I think that
you got to be getting on the top end there, huh?
With the city manager group, I think I'm out. I think Jay Parrish at Ferndale has a few more years on me, but I got them all when it comes to working in Humboldt County, though. But
yeah, I thought you were just going to say working
for government in Humboldt County.
Oh, just working, but okay, fine. If you want to put that little conditional on there, that's okay too. So, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it. You can ask me any question, and I'll give you whatever answer you want. You want to talk about world affairs, local affairs?
What did you say? Your personal affairs?
World affairs.
Is that what I heard?
Worldly affairs.
Worldly affairs. Oh, okay. We'll talk about worldling affairs when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Edmund Burke. Quote, ambition can creep as well as soar. Just thought I'd lay that one out there for you.
So you're saying you've met some ambitious creeps?
Yeah, or creepy ambitious people.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's cooking in Arcata? Anything exciting? Finals week, I know. It changes the dynamics of town after.
Well, I think finals week is over because the university is pretty quiet.
Well, okay, yeah, wrapping up, yeah.
Yeah. The parking lot at the Jolly Giant Commons is
accessible now.
Accessible now. Yeah, it's a good time. The plaza is all lit up. The main street has it all, the season of wonder and light. So if you go out looking at Christmas lights at night, be sure to come to the Arcata Plaza because it's beautiful.
So the plaza's lit and the patrons aren't? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you get there before 10 o'clock at night, they won't be lit. If you get there after 10 o'clock at night, you might see some lit patrons.
Who knows? Who knows, eh? When you look back at the calendar year, what sense do you have? Was this a learning year, a good year, a so-so year? What kind of year was it for Arcata?
It was a good year, I would say. I'm the eternal optimist, though. But yeah.
Well, it's over. It's rearview mirror time now.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the first time I really kind of thought about it. But we had some very good projects this year, great accomplishments with our departments. We fixed some things that were broken, completed some big projects. And along with that, we balanced the budget. And I think Arcata citizens got a good deal this year.
What future road projects are you looking at, Randy? I know around the plaza you guys have spent a lot of time and effort to reconfigure, I guess, the plaza area. Is that the final, or do you still have some more tinkering?
Oh, no, that's not the final. We have – our staff is working on a capital improvement plan right now to bring back to the council. So we're looking 5 years forward. Everything from replacing the headworks to our treatment plant, which is a pricey thing.
Does everything do with roads?
Roads are pretty. After Measure G, you know, the extra 3/4 cent sales tax. A lot of those are going into roads. So we're doing a lot with roads, just with that money.
Do you have a goal to have sidewalks everywhere in town?
Yes. Yeah. It's in the municipal code that. Of course, you know, if you're going to build a new building on a street that doesn't have sidewalks, you know, part of the permit's going to require that you put a sidewalk out front.
Your curb for your 100 feet.
Right. And it's amazing, you know, they really get used. I think more and more people are starting to walk. You know, there's a fitness thing as well as a gas, you know, trying to save energy thing. And it being a university town, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And so those sidewalks, you'd think in areas that you wouldn't think that they would be used, we put them in, and there's a lot of traffic on those sidewalks. So it's a safety thing as well.
With the existing homes, where's the responsibility? Is it the city? I know that once they're in, it's the city property, but the landowner's responsibility.
Well, it's the landowner's.
It's really one of those weird little dichotomies that, yeah.
It is. It's the landowner's responsibility to maintain the sidewalk out front. You know, it's in the city right away. But I think that if, for instance, if you want to build a new building or a new project, the sidewalk is going to be part of the requirement. But I don't know of any time that we require people to add sidewalks if they haven't had them there before and if they're not doing any building.
Right. In some of those areas where there's, I can think of a couple of locations where firmly within the city that there are no sidewalks. Will you guys come in and put a sidewalk in if you're working on the street or something? Do you just drop in the curb? I mean, you can't force somebody to spend their money on a sidewalk unless you hold the permits.
Right, right. There's been a few cases where we have. It just depends, like if there's heavy pedestrian traffic in a city right away and it's fully city right away, we might. There's not a lot of money for that, but we do. We've worked on a lot of curb cuts to comply with Americans with Disability Act. And there's been a couple projects, such as in Sunset, where you have the Larson Park. You know, we built the park. We put in the new tennis courts and the bocce ball place there. So we were the developer, so we had to put in the sidewalks.
Whose idea are those stupid little yellow bumpy things that go on the little cut downs on the corners?
They're non-skid things. And, the paint that you can't get paint that sticks to concrete or asphalt anymore. So those are
another hazardous material.
Yeah, those are kind of a high heat, plastic heat thing. They're for non-skid so that people don't slip. And they're also to show the curb cut so that people can see it in the dark. It's the best thing there on the market that I know of now.
Truly delightful coming out of the grocery store, too.
Yeah.
You watch all your eggs explode.
Right, right.
I just really hate those things. And it doesn't appear like some of the glue sticks. You know, if it's on a well-traveled corner, those things are always kind of cattywampus.
But it's the affordable thing that we have now.
Why don't you just throw a couple of yellow crayons inside the cement?
Well, the graffiti artists kind of do that enough,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay, fine. Slickery. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea. Gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate, all Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, what kind of a impression do you have about retail in Arcata? You're always getting mixed messages about, up, down, okay, fine. But in overall, are you happy with the way retail is performing as a sector?
Yes. Yes, our sales tax consultant has given us some good information that business in Arcata is slightly up. It's come up a couple of percent on average, I believe, and I don't remember the exact percent. But the neat thing about Arcata is that we have a very diverse pie. If you look up the different types of businesses, it kind of go and you put it into a pie. we have a very diverse segments of different types of businesses. So when one is up, the other's down. But overall, Arcata businesses this last year have held their own very well.
Is there anything you'd like to see? Is there anything that's being missed right now? Automotive would be the big elephant in the middle of the room. Okay.
Right.
But you set that one aside at this point. Is there any other niche that you would like to, if you could coordinate or do an outreach and to bring in a fill in the blank kind of business?
Well, I think that most of us would love to have another industrial park. You know, that really is what anchored our Arcata is the light manufacturing and niche hub for truly Northern California. You know, I would take a whole show to count to tell you all the different businesses that originate in Arcata. And you know that a lot of them of the key businesses have links back to our industrial park, and which is full, basically. So, and that's one of the things that we were doing with our redevelopment agency as we were getting ready to have another phase. And these things take 10-20 years to mature. The Arcata, the one off of Erickson that started in the late 70s. So, and now it's mature.
Wasn't there a push to do? I forget the mill site. The one driving. On the left as you're driving out to the sewer plant, the lake.
Yeah, we call it the Little Lake. That was part of the...
Hauser was really pushing for that one, wasn't he, when he was in...
He may have. I don't recall what his...
Oh, you ignored him when he was in...
Well, I was busy when, I had another job when he was city manager that kept my time occupied.
Yeah, I would imagine he probably kept you hopping a little bit.
but that is one of the RDA properties, and I say RDA, Redevelopment Agency, so I apologize for the acronym. But then we acquired this place called Happy Valley, which is off of West End Road, and it's about 20 acres of uncontaminated flat land, and we're waiting to hear from the state as to whether they're going to let us keep that. But if that...
Why would they take it back?
Because that was purchased with Redevelopment Agency funds. And
well, so even though it's the city of Arcata, it's because of how it was acquired.
Right. So we're just waiting to find out whether the axe is going to fall or whether they're going to allow us to, to turn that into some economic fuel for the community and the state. So
is Happy Valley by the mill?
It is off of West End Road. It's just up behind Alves. There, the Alves company has an operation there, and there's a gate, and it's up in the hill there, and it's they're just prime parcels to do a future industrial project or like we have off of Erickson.
Those don't pencil out. Just using regular general fund dollars with the paybacks, you need to have the tools that a redevelopment agency can bring in?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's been great. I mean, you just look at some of these small businesses that maybe they would have made it without redevelopment money, but most people don't start with a lot of capital. And you can find, look at Lacey's Cookies, for instance. You can see those on the shelf at Costco's and in San Diego. I was in San Diego and I saw Lacey's Cookies. Well, they started in a small space.
Little slots there, yeah.
There in our Foodworks building, and now he's got a huge factory, and those are Arcata jobs, and those are Arcata. That benefits not only Arcata but Humboldt County, and also the state. And those were that's how you generate an economy. And with the loss of this redevelopment funding from the state, I just don't understand when you're trying to solve a state budget how our legislature could just kill the redevelopment the way they did.
So when you ask Wes, I mean, he's familiar with it.
Right.
What does Assemblyman Chesbrough say?
I'd like to hear that too, because he was in a position and we agreed to disagree. I remember having lunch with him at one time and during that time and I knew that he had his mind made up, but at the end of the lunch, I said, okay, I gave you a break by not talking about redevelopment, but I'm going to just say it, redevelopment, redevelopment, redevelopment. That's about all I could say because I knew that his mind was made up. He had to go with his caucus in Sacramento. So it was disappointing, to say the least, but he did, I guess, what he felt like he had to do. But we have to disagree respectfully, of course.
How much steam was knocked out of the wind this year because of the redevelopment agency being disbanded?
Oh, it's a tremendous waste of energy, staff time, public funds. You know, they threw the baby out with the bathwater, in my mind. I mean, certainly there were redevelopment agencies in the state that were not following by the rules, and they should have been dealt with, even if they cut the funds. But now it just makes no sense, you know, some of the rulings that are coming out of the Department of Finance.
KINS News and Information Time, 3:30.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza, city manager for the Burg of Arcata. You like that?
Sure. Okay. That's a good, I think a burg is a good thing, unless it's an iceberg. And
yeah, then you don't want to get too close.
Yeah.
But give it time. It'll become manageable.
Well, yeah, yes, yes. I'll just keep it there, yes.
Yeah. Oh, when you think of Arcata's future, Randy, you mentioned two to 5 years down the road. What do you see with a housing stock? Is the number of single-family units large enough now to handle the demand for the next 4 or 5 years? Do you see that it... there's going to be a lot of bladers, and you're going to have a lot of replacements. Is it not enough at all? I mean, how do you project the population trends and then the demands to live within the city limits?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it's a good segue from our redevelopment. You know, some of those redevelopment funds went into low-income housing, and we don't know at this point whether that's even going to be available. But moving forward from that, or independent from that, you know, we have a university population, so I know the university is going to be looking at housing for their employees as well as students. And, you know, in the past, we've had some of our housing stock taken up by grow houses. So we're hoping with this
in
new...
In the past?
In the past. Well, I think probably still in the present. Right. Yeah. So we're hoping with the passage of this Measure I, which will add a substantial tax to people that have that use 600% of the baseline of electricity, which is translates to grow houses. We're hoping some of those people will move out, and then it'll make more of these houses, you know, back into residences. And
for what they leave, well, I guess maybe it would stimulate the remodeling business too, huh?
Yeah, because
all the black mold and stuff.
That's right. They just destroy houses, and tell you, I don't understand why landowners aren't more careful with who they rent to, because literally it just destroys houses.
They're more aggressive. I mean, really aggressive about this stuff.
It really is. So, and they just trash these houses, water leaks and mold spores. And it's terrible. And no one wants to live next to them, because they make neighborhoods unsafe. You know, they pop, you know, transformers, you know, PG&E transformers. So the neighborhood goes black when they overload the transformers, et cetera.
When does that kick in?
It's in the process of being kicked in. Our staff has been meeting with PG&E, in fact, met today with PG&E to see how to implement, how much it's going to cost to implement it. I wasn't able to attend that meeting at another meeting, so I'm waiting to hear from our staff as to how that went. Right now, looking at the numbers of houses that are in excess of the 600%, the city could net about $1 million in the first 12 months. It's that over the board. So there's some housing that's going to come out of those grow houses when they, because we expect the grow houses are going to move, and eventually this tax revenue is going to go to a zero. At least that's the goal.
So early on, you see a house or the records of a house that is consuming more than its fair share? You then notify the landlord?
Well,
or do you just then whip a surtax on it?
What happens is PG&E, through the ordinance, charges them. So, no, it's a confidential thing. PG&E doesn't tell us who those houses are, and they don't tell the landowners who they are, because they have this confidentiality thing. It's kind of like the HIPAA rules of the electric industry, I guess. So,
and this is done because PG&E doesn't want to bang on their prime customers?
Well, I'm not going to speak for PG&E, but
because you were in a meeting.
Will suffice it to say that when I've asked them that question, the answer has been that they say it's confidential. They can't give the confidential records of their customers, and then of course they worry about the safety of their employees if they were to be thought by growers that they're turning them in.
Public Utility Commission controls PG&E, right?
That's correct.
It's a publicly traded company, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not hearing private in there anywhere.
Well, it's still a company. They're still in there to make a profit.
So they just whip the tax on these people, and then you guys
it shows up on their bill.
Suddenly get a check at the end of the month that goes, and here's your bonus?
Yep. That's how I understand it, and yeah, it's added to their to the PG&E bills, just as a local tax initiative is attached to your bill. Or
but that's transparent.
Yeah,
you know where it's going. You know how much it's for. You know who owes how much, and you know how much is owed.
And of course, if they don't pay their bill, PG&E will shut them off. So,
but that doesn't generate anything.
That doesn't generate anything.
And there's a lot of homes that have squatters in them with no PG&E.
Right. Well, my big question to PG&E has always been, and I've asked this several times, is how can you allow these unsafe electrical connections to proliferate in our neighborhoods? I mean, you have a confidentiality requirement for your customers, but you also have a public safety responsibility, and these are unsafe.
So why not just disconnect?
Well, that's what we're hoping.
Right?
Yeah. Well, they won't do that. Apparently. I mean, I think I said I wasn't going to speak for PG&E. I want to clarify that the local PG&E people here we work with are fabulous. They really are. They're great. This is corporate policy.
It's the SOBs in San Francisco?
And I've had this discussion with the folks in San Francisco. And so when I want to clarify that, because the local PG&E people here have been great to work with. Seriously and honestly.
So now they'll still continue to return your phone calls. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
The Humboldt Waste Management Authority is conducting a series of community workshops to share information regarding what services the authority provides, like hazardous and electronic waste collection events, along with the authority's future goals and opportunities for recycle and disposal. Tonight's workshop is in McKinleyville at the Grace Good Shepherd Church starting at 6. Join in for one of the series of workshops held this week and next week to give your input and share your thoughts about Humboldt Waste Management Authority. A full schedule of meetings are available at the website hwma.net.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:46. The engine's running. Randy's almost out of here.
Thanks, Brian. I don't mean to rush, but I do have some.
Get another, out of my way. I'm out the door.
I do have another appointment waiting for me.
Well, we shall get you out of here in a timely fashion, as they say. Legalization of pot, Washington?
Yes.
Colorado seems to be a big push. Now there's, what, 23 states? Have some form of legalization.
Something like that, yeah.
Do you see that it's going to become legal? Will the feds capitulate to this, or do you see that it's going to continue as it is?
It's very simple. I don't see the feds capitulating to this any day soon. I think eventually they will. I think the states could legalize all they want, but the Controlled Substances Act is always going to overrule. The supremacy clause of the federal government is always going to rule, and it's going to continue to put states in difficult situations until the feds decide. So,
do you think there'll be a clarity, a realization, or a clarification at a federal level so that the cities, the counties, the sheriffs, the PDs have a universal and accepted universally determination on what they should do, what they shouldn't do, what they need to do, what they don't need to do?
I don't see it yet. In fact, the Obama administration is more conservative or assertive on enforcing the Controlled Substance Act than the George W. Bush administration has been. So the U.S. attorneys in the states that have had some marijuana decriminalization, I won't say legalized because it's decriminalized, because it's still illegal in California to possess marijuana and cultivate it, in case anyone wants to know, but it's been decriminalized. But the U.S. attorneys in those states have found that it's just becoming so abused and so over the top that's why they have been taking action as they have. And, you know, it's just money and greed. This has nothing to do with sick people needing medicine. It's money and greed is what and some major pollution, you know, when you look out into the on public lands.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the amount of energy that's being consumed.
No, it's the diesel spills and the poisons for the rodents that are getting into the food chain. They're damning
up. Do mice like this stuff?
Yes, apparently mice and rats do. So they put big tins of rodenticide out there, and then of course then the mice and rats eat it.
Rodenticides.
Yes, it's they kill rodents.
Wasn't that one of the monsters in Japan in the early 60s in movies? Rodan.
Oh, could well. I don't know. I don't like those kind of movies.
Godzilla,
I didn't watch
and Rodan.
Yeah.
Boy, it's real.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have concerns about the community forest being used for that kind of stuff?
Not as much, because the community forest in itself is only about 600 acres. So there are so many people up there that use it on the hiking trails. It would be very hard for people. The areas that are more remote, like in national forests and so forth, and also private lands, when we're talking, you know, they own several miles, square miles, that's where these are happening.
The big ones.
And they're huge. And they're environmental disasters. And you can actually see them from Google Earth.
How about if we say environmental and cultural?
Well,
damages.
True. Yeah, that's true. I guess you depend on who you talk to, though, on the latter.
Well, it's just you and me, babe.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Don't
Brian.
Don't break the speed limit. That'd be awfully embarrassing.
Oh, I won't. You're in the speed corridor there, so I'll just set that for...
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have some more love.